Fantastic. It's really fun. I was trying to think about, when I was thinking about toilet, how can we relate? It's something we just really can't relate to. So you, I believe you purchased 4 latrines. So I just wanted to encourage you guys. But that means 7 latrines. I need to correct our data because I did check that and it says 4. So that's a mistake. 7 latrines. There we go. Let me rewrite my script. No. 7 latrines, which means that that's 7 communities of people. 7 groups, 7 families, 7... Yeah, communities that now have access to something that we take for granted every single day. And I'm trying to think, the closest thing I can relate to is when we have that panic moment when we use a restroom and we realise there's no toilet paper. That's probably the closest thing in our world to what we're talking about, where these people don't have access to this basic sanitation. So there's literally illnesses and disease and lives quite literally have been saved. As a result of your giving. So, a massive thank you for that. Now, today, I want to talk to you about Jesus, which I feel like when you're coming to a church to speak, that's always a good place to start. But you'd be surprised, working for a charity, it's very easy, actually, to even get a bit almost wrapped up in your own mission, because there's so much to talk about with the kids and there's so much that they're doing. But actually, that's not the fundamental element of what we do. Because everything, like our strapline at Tiffin is following Jesus where the need is greater. So it makes sense to actually surely start with Jesus. Today, the reason I want to speak about Jesus is because ultimately, I'm going to say some stuff today that, if I'm honest, I kind of prepared a bit of a talk and I actually felt led by the Spirit to slightly alter what I was going to say, so to mix it up a little bit. So this isn't the talk that I normally give. You've got something bespoke today, which is. The fundamental purpose we were created for is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, to be his presence here on earth, to be his presence to a broken world, and to be in relationship with the Son, to be in relationship with the Father. That's why you were created. You weren't created to be a dad, you weren't created to be a mum, you weren't created to be a teacher, you weren't created to work for children. Now don't get me wrong, all that stuff is good, that's all good, and it's part of God's plan for our lives, but ultimately, that's not why we're created. Before sin came into the world, we're just living in perfect union with the Father. And that is why you were created. You were created to be in relationship with him. And I don't know about you, but I find it can always be tough when someone from a charity comes to talk about justice. Because, if I'm honest with my experience, and maybe I've done this myself, but you sat there and maybe you're a bit weighed down with life as it is. Like, life gets busy. I remember when I was young, I had all the time in the world. I didn't realise how much time I had, and I was passionate, and I was ready to change the world. And then I got to university, which I thought would be busy, and then I still had more time than I thought I would. God bless 3-year courses, mate. And then there was campaigns, and there was the CEO, and it was brilliant, and I loved it, and I had all the time and energy, and I was gambling. And then after university, I got my degree, and then I kind of got a job, and it was a bit like, oh, okay, I've kind of got a couple of bills and responsibilities to pay, like, oh, okay, this is a bit different. I haven't got as much time to change the world as I previously thought I would have, but I'm still gambling. Like, and then I got married, and then my kind of those more responsibilities came in, and I had responsible for my beautiful wife, which is obviously an absolute dream and a blessing. It's easy, of course. No problems at all. No, I'm joking. And then all of a sudden, I got a promotion at work, and then the kind of responsibilities got a little bit more, and then maybe I got more responsibilities at church, which is great, and all this stuff is good. But all of a sudden, now you're telling me that someone is coming from a charity to talk to me about justice. And they're probably going to challenge me to do more. They're probably going to challenge me to look at my diary and try and think, oh, where am I going to fit this in my week? Like, and actually, maybe you do respond. Maybe you do spend more time in prayer. Maybe you do give more money or whatever it might be. But actually, the motivation is kind of a heavy heart. It's one of a bit of guilt or a bit of an obligation. And I want to tell you today that my main purpose here today, today would have been successful if when people leave this church they feel they've encountered Jesus through what I'm telling you today. And maybe people will give, and maybe people will commit you've already given really generously, and maybe they'll commit to prayer. But actually, my main heart today is that you encounter your risen Savior, you encounter the Lord Jesus. Is that okay?
It's cool.
Great. Yeah. And let me emphasize again. I just really don't want there to be any sense of guilt and any sense of obligation. And I had a scripture here that says, command that in 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. The purpose of any preacher should be to breathe life into those who listen, whether he's speaking on behalf of a charity or not. So, Jesus and justice. So without Jesus, justice becomes guilt and legalism. It becomes trying to tick a right box, do the right things, to do what we're meant to do. But with Jesus, the idea is that we encounter this Saviour. This broken people, this broken world, encounters the Saviour who's given himself for us. And then out of an abundance, an overflow of love and affection and desire, we revert back to our youth. We go back to those youthful years of like, oh, I can do so much. I want to change the world. Peter 1 verse 3 to 7 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the test of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I felt challenged and led to say something slightly different, I just wanted to... You've been grieved by various trials. That just really burdened me. And I just felt like maybe there are people here today that might resonate with. You know, God doesn't promise us that he'll prevent us from going through tough times. He doesn't promise us that we won't face temptations, that we won't face trials, but he does promise us that he will guide us and carry us and hold us through those times. We live in a world that's been ravaged by sin, a world that's so broken. And yet so often we contribute to the brokenness in our own brokenness. Our own insecurities, our own mixed up priorities. And today I wanted to come and I wanted to encourage people and say, to stand behind the pulpit, that no matter what you are going through, his purpose and his plan is being weaved through the ups and downs of your life. Sometimes that can be a really tough thing to hear. Like, what are you talking about? Where is the purpose of God in this? And I don't know. We're not meant to have the answers necessarily. But I can stand on the word of God and assure you of this, that his purpose and his plan is being weaved through those things. My hope and prayer is that this day you re-encounter this Jesus. I thought, how can I go and talk about justice? How can I go and talk about tear fund and all the things that they're doing without first going through the cross? Without first talking to his people about that experience of coming before the cross with your brokenness and your shame and your guilt, and asking for the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of those sins, to come into your heart and to live in relationship with you. I'd love us to re-encounter that truth today. I mean, I go to a really big, really loud, flashy lights, like big, loud rock band kind of church. It's not the type of church that I would naturally choose to go to, but it's where my family is, my community is, and I'm kind of growing up there. So I'm still, I come here and I love the liturgy. And it's really funny because as a young man, I probably, in my pride, it seemed really boring, it seemed really static. I was just like, I don't get it, what are you talking about? And then I went and studied a theology degree and started to understand that maybe some of these older generations have just thought this through a little bit more than I gave them credit for. And shock horror. And now I hear these words, and I hear the call from the priest. Mm. And I hear the response from the congregation, and it's beautiful. The body of Christ coming together. Because Christ will be glorified. And one day we will get to share in that glory. Before meeting the needs of a broken world, I genuinely believe we have to come face to face with our own brokenness. If we really want to do justice long term, we have to come face to face with our own brokenness, because otherwise, when we're trying to meet those needs, like I said, it's kind of legalism. And before you know it, you feel a bit guilty after a while, but that can only sustain you for so long. Maybe that sustains us for longer than it should. Maybe we give for years at a time, and yet out of a place of like tick the right box and do the right thing, it's like it's kind of a burden. But as we realise that our relationship with God is not founded upon that burden, but it's founded on an unconditional love and an unconditional acceptance. Not acceptance of who I am, but acceptance in spite of who I am. It's unconditional. A wellspring of life and love. As we come to experience that grace and that relationship, all of a sudden, we start to find a long-term plan for justice. Because we have a hope that is eternal. And we have a life that is eternal. And so then, when we come to doing justice, and we come to wanting to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our world, it's not just a year, it's not just a 3-year thing, it's a lifetime thing, because it's who we are as people. Jesus is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We're never going to earn our way to heaven. Some of you might be sat here going, yeah, I know this. I've been a Christian for 50 years. And I don't mean to undermine that by any means whatsoever. But I know that the testimony of my own life is that it's as I re-encounter the same fundamental truth over and over and over again. As I re-encounter the love of God in Christ Jesus on that cross, that I grow, that I become more like Him, that I become more like His hands and feet. And then from that place, it's true that this relationship isn't a static thing. It's not insular. As a necessary result of that relationship with Christ and out of that place of unconditional love and acceptance, that there's kind of some expectations come with that, or not expectations, but rather the Word of God tells me that there should be an overflow of something in me, so there should be something that wants to get out. There should be a heart of compassion, hopefully, that gradually starts to form. A heart of compassion for, like I said, for those people who are so stuck in poverty, and those people who are far more destitute than ourselves, should I say. This is such a fundamental aspect to what it means to be a Christian. At Tearfund, we call it integral mission, which is what I referred to before. That, again, your experience may be different, but my experience is that in a big church like the one I go to, a lot of the mission stuff is kind of left for a select few people. It's a particular group. It's like I said, and they've caught the bug, and they can't get over it. It's like I said, you ask them what they had for breakfast, and somehow you end up talking about some Amazonian rainforest tribe that they went and spent 3 months with, and thought, oh, well, I had Weetabix. I don't know how quite we got here. Maybe you met a couple of those people yourself. Maybe they're in the room. And if you're looking around and you're thinking, no, I don't think, maybe it's you. I don't know. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Luke 4:18 says something very similar. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, Another one, Jesus himself, this is the one that's very similar. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting all of us to go and sell all our houses and then get that Ed will come back and everyone's dressed in potato sack cloths and like, that's not the expectation. But I don't know, but at the same time, whenever I qualify that statement, I always feel the Spirit prompting me going, but maybe for one of us it is. Maybe for one of us that's what the Spirit is asking you to do. Maybe he's been calling you to a distant land for a while. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's been calling you to just do a little thing every day. And as it's fair trade week, maybe he's been asking you and challenging you for a while to maybe be a bit more conscious and buy more fair trade products. Me and my wife having a conversation on the way here that we need to do that. Some of the communities that Tiffin works in, again, fair trade always seemed a bit of a distant idea. I used to not really understand it. But now, having seen the community that Tiffin works in, where we go and we equip them with knowledge and resources and the idea, the way Tiffin works, is that we don't want to help people within the poverty cycle. We want to equip them to lift themselves out of the poverty cycle. So you've heard the story, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but give him a net and he'll eat for a lifetime. Give him a fish and he'll eat for a day, give him a net and he'll eat for a lifetime. But actually, Tiffin takes it one step further than that, because then in just giving him a net, well, what happens when the net breaks? The thing is, his success is still dependent on receiving something from generally the Western world. His success and his ability to escape that poverty is still dependent on us in the West. So why don't you go over there, like, and equip him with the knowledge to build a net himself out of local resources? Equip him with knowledge and understanding the resources that maybe he does have access to, but didn't have the understanding to see that. Once you equip him with that, then when we leave, we never have to go back. And we do checkups and evaluate down the line, don't get me wrong. But in reality, you never have to go back, because they're actually free from the poverty cycle. Giving someone, and don't get me wrong, so giving someone, that's great, but we're all about wanting to release people from that cycle of poverty, so that they're no longer dependent on us anymore. And so I go back to fair trade, when I think of some of these communities, some of these people, when they've been through a long, hard process over years, and then maybe they've established their small business, and maybe they're starting to sell things. So now the thought of someone coming and exploiting that, and maybe in Tesco, for me, it's just a bag of coffee. It's a slightly cheaper bag of coffee. It's a pound, maybe. It's 50p for it. And it's like, but actually, on the other end of that transaction, and I'm not talking about the Tesco cashier, I'm talking about on the other end of that transaction, there's someone who wears their sweat and their blood and their tears and a life of challenge and growth and knowledge and to then be exploited by a simple consumer. It breaks my heart. And we do build into our process to make sure that we connect them with suppliers and things who aren't going to exploit them, of course. But then it just makes it very real for me, you know, when I'm walking down a Tesco aisle and you're totting up how much this shop's going to be. And I'm thinking, oh, I'd only kind of wanted it to be 30. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's just so real. Romans 12 verse 20 says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We see time and time and time and time again in the scriptures that God and saying, these people are close to my heart. In fact, I'll just read this passage. It says, the one that perhaps we know the best is Jesus speaking to people in Matthew. Chapter 5 says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? Or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." But as Jesus himself said, "I have wrapped myself up in the poor and the oppressed, and those who are destitute, and those who are so broken and so much need, that's where I've wrapped myself up. And as you do unto them, you do unto me." And this is why, what I was talking about earlier, the integral mission, this is why it's so integral that this is an outworking of our relationship with God. Because he says that in those people, we will find him. And so I do want to challenge you today. From a place of love and acceptance, unconditional love and acceptance with your Heavenly Father, like, how is the Spirit challenging you to outwork that? And I even want to release you from having to do that with tear fund. Don't tell my boss that. But my responsibility is, if I, I'm speaking on behalf of tear fund, of course, and it is a phenomenal organisation, and I'm going to be doing a presentation in or after the lunch. You'll hear all about that. But I almost want to release you from that, because it's more about what is the Spirit leading you to do today as an outworking of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Like, maybe it is as simple as a shopping trip. Maybe it's a trip to the other side of the world. Maybe it's to get in maybe it's to get involved with our No Child Taken about child trafficking. I don't want to restrict that for you, but I just want to encourage you to reflect and have a think about maybe what the Spirit of God is leading you to do today. Maybe you're already doing absolutely enough. I equally don't want to burden you. Maybe you know that actually, no, I'm very involved and I'm very invested, and that's also absolutely okay. But this stuff is not just for a few of us, it's for all of us. I just like Tiff and the way we work, just to give you a bit of information before, because I'm aware that not everyone will be staying for the lunch. The way Tiff and works, if I'm honest, when I got a job at Tier Fund, I had bills to pay, like the rest of us, and getting that job there was, that's why I probably stuttered about a question, your question caught me off guard before it, because I was a bit like, I want to say the right thing, I want to sound good, but really, it was a good organisation, and I had bills to pay, and I needed to get a job, but actually, over the past year, it's become an organisation that I just love phenomenally. It's become so close to my heart because it has such a distinctive model of international development. You see, Tier Fund works where they can exclusively through the local church. So Tier Fund come and go and saying, hold on to me. We have access to a whole network of millions and millions of people all over the world already who are just willing, given the opportunity and the knowledge and the resources to do so, are just willing to serve their communities, who already are so educated, they already know their needs, they know their culture, they know their language better than any of us do. So why would we not tap into that global network of people? Obviously, the global network being the Christian church. And what's beautiful then is that we go in and work with the church, and we equip them and resource them, and then the church works with the community. And we act as a contact point with the church and keep that relationship going if there's anything else they need. But ultimately it means that there's no, in Pakistani villages and African communities in South America, there's no Tier Fund banners. There's no praising the Tier Fund wagon as it rolls into town. Like, a lot of people don't even actually know Tier Funders work there. The people who are getting the glory, or rather the person who is getting the glory is our Father. Is God, because they see his hands and feet, they see the local church as the people through whom this blessing is coming. And so this is, you can tell that this is why I believe in it so much now. So I'm just like, why would you do it any other way? And I don't mean to say that detrimentally about any other organisations at all, but it's just as I've read and understood more, I'm just like, why would you do it any other way? The people are there and willing, they just need the knowledge and the resources. And I love that all over the world, people are coming home. And that relationship with Christ that we talked about before, people are coming into that relationship as a result. People are coming into that relationship as a result of the local church and what they're doing. So as I come to close, if you would like to sign up just to get more information, to partner these, you'll get all the videos and the resources and everything, please fill in. I'll put one of these, we'll put a pile of these on the table at the back. If you want to sign up to get information and just partner with us, please do fill this in. And then if you would like to become a regular giver, just give financial tip and just tick the box. And someone will contact you. And the reason we do it like that is because we're aware that when you hear a talk from a speaker who talks a lot and is very passionate about what he's doing, you can, I want to give £1,000 a month. And then 2 months later, when you haven't eaten for 2 months, you think, right, I probably need to revise that idea a little bit. So the idea is that if you would like to give financially, you tick the box, and someone will talk, will ring you and talk to you and talk about the different projects that you could support, talk to you about how much you'd like to give, that you can actually have some time to think and pray about it. So there'll be some of these here, and there'll be some at the back. And please just stick around for a presentation more about the specific way that Tearfilm works. But now as I come to a close, I want to read this out. May our motivation be nothing but the love of Jesus. The blood that he shed that we might live. The cross that he endured so that we wouldn't have to. And may we all, each and every one of us, answer his call in our own way to follow him in this world where the need is greatest and to extend such hope that we have received to those